We continue in our study together of the foundational, the basic things the Bible teaches. And at present, we've been working our way with the help of the Heidelberg Catechism through the teaching of the Apostles' Creed. And we come to the third major section of the Apostles' Creed, if we see that the creed is divided up by virtue of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The rest of the creed has to do with the ministry of the Spirit in the Holy Catholic Christian Universal Church, of which by God's grace we are a part, in the blessing of the forgiveness of sins, the communion of saints, in the hope of the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. All those blessings are the ministry of the Spirit. We're going to be reading from a couple of places in Scripture as we prepare to look at the summary of the Bible's teaching. So first from John chapter 16, in the Pew Bibles, page 1244. And then we'll be turning to Ephesians as well. John chapter 16, and we're going to begin reading at verse 5. Just a note that the verses or the chapters, John 14 through 16, are the discourse of the Lord Jesus and a very important dialogue that he has with his disciples between the Last Supper and then on his way to Gethsemane, where he'll bow down in prayer. And I think John 17 reflects the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. But John 14 through 16, we can't take the time to read all three chapters, does in many ways emphasize for us the ministry of the Spirit as well. Jesus is speaking about going away, and where he's going, they cannot come. But he promises to send them another comforter, another helper. He's not going to leave them as orphans, and he will pour out his Spirit. And so we'll take up at John 16, verse 5, where we see a focus on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 5, this is the Word of God. But now I go away to him who sent me, these are the words of Jesus, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So far from John, the Gospel according to John. And let's turn as well now to Ephesians chapter 1 in our Pew Bibles, page 1342. 1342. And read the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1. Again, this is the Word of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him, that is in Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. I'm just going to turn over as well to chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, and at verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So far from the Holy Word of God. Keep your Bibles open to Ephesians if you're able, and then turn with me as well to Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 20. In the Forms and Prayers books, page 221, in the Trinity Psalter Hymnal, page 880, Lord's Day 20. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. Second, that he is given also to me, so that through true faith he makes me share in Christ and all his benefits, comforts me, and will remain with me forever. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue our study of the fundamental things, the Bible basics, the things that are important for us to have a handle on, we're asking together this morning, what about the Holy Spirit? Maybe that question has been posed to you, and maybe it has been addressed to us as Reformed believers with the intimation of the one setting it before us, that you as Reformed believers don't really have an emphasis on the Holy Spirit. You have forgotten about the Holy Spirit. What about the Holy Spirit? What does the Bible say? Is our focus this morning. Now, there may be some of us who are listening to me speak here this morning whose first reaction when we have come now to the teaching about the Holy Spirit, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit, would be, I don't even know what you're talking about. What is the Holy Spirit? And that would be a reaction similar to the one the Apostle Paul met when the gospel was first beginning to go out. After Jesus had ascended into heaven and poured out his Holy Spirit on his church, and then the word was to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. Finally, the Apostle Paul, we read in Acts chapter 19, got to Ephesus, a major port city on the Aegean Sea. It was in Asia Minor. That's what it was known as in those days. Today it would be modern-day Turkey. And the port of Ephesus would now be a little bit inland because of the way the bay has silted in, and that city would be called Kushadasi. But Paul first comes to Ephesus, and there are a group of disciples there, followers of the way. They had come to know that it's important to follow Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And he asked them if they had received the Spirit, and their answer to that to him in Acts 19, verse 2, we haven't even heard if there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we might say, what is that? Or, as we listen carefully this morning, we would say, who is that? And we would not say, the Holy Spirit, what is that thing? We would say, the Holy Spirit, who is that person? He is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. These are important features of who the Holy Spirit is. Appreciating the question that was raised to Paul by the people in Ephesus gives us an opportunity to make sure that we understand something of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I would submit to you, if the people in Ephesus were actually followers of the way and actually had committed their lives to resting in who Jesus is as the way, truth, and the life, though they couldn't articulate an explanation for who the Holy Spirit is, it was only by the Spirit's work that they were who they were, that they were following Jesus, the one they followed. And that's important for us to see and to appreciate. Now, the way that unfolded in the book of Acts was at a particular historical moment as the Spirit's work and the understanding of His work was just coming to expression at that time in redemptive history. Today, we have moved beyond that point, and the Spirit has been given without measure to the church, and the work continues throughout the world. But we need to make sure that we are not those who actually forget about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're inclined to say, well, look, Lord's Day 20, it's probably one of the shortest Lord's Days in the Catechism. And that would also perhaps incline us to think that in our own teaching we are giving short shrift to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I say that would be a dreadful mistake to think that. As short as this particular Lord's Day is, it packs a punch. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a ministry that we absolutely cannot do without. We want to appreciate that. And if you're interested, I would just encourage you to go through the whole catechism and see how many times the ministry of the Spirit is actually referred to. His work is behind the scenes, typically. And we'll talk about that before we finish this morning as well, his work behind the scenes. But what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? What about the Holy Spirit? And again, we're going to ask a number of questions as I have them printed on the bulletin. Who is he? And why does it matter? Now, one of the things that the Catechism does bring out as we get to about halfway into the answer is that he's also been given to me personally, also to me. But that is the second thing. It's a glorious thing, one that we should be glad to see and appreciate, but it is secondary to the first things that we need to appreciate. First things first, we would say. We want to focus in on who he is as a person. And the Catechism summarizes that for us. First, that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. So we speak of the fact that we believe in God triune. There is one God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is personal. Ministry of the Spirit as personal divine being is absolutely essential. Why does it matter? We want to get to that in terms of what we see taught here in Scripture for us. He is a person. Now, don't misunderstand that. We're not saying he is a people. We're not saying he has a body. We're saying he's personal. That's important. He has a subsistence that is unique to him. That's what we mean, that he is a person. He is a personal. He's not a mere influence or some power or force. He is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. You can't have fellowship or communion with a mere force. One of our benedictions that we hear when the blessing of God is given to us at the end of our worship services speaks of the blessing of the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We may enjoy sweet fellowship with God in the Spirit, and you can't have fellowship with a hydro line or a power force. There are many aspects of his personality that we want to just highlight very quickly, going through some scriptures. He is the one who understands the things of the Lord. We see that in Romans 8, where he teaches us how to pray and understands the things of God, even when we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit brings our prayers to God because he understands the mind of God, because he is God. He is understanding. Or 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, the man without the Spirit cannot understand these things because they are spiritually discerned. But the blessing of understanding comes from the Spirit who understands, who knows the way. Romans 15, verse 30 speaks of the blessing of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and shows us that the Spirit is a God who loves. Romans 15, verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. The Spirit loves. We see that. The Spirit can be lied to. You look in Acts 5, the verses 3 and 9, in terms of what Ananias and Sapphira did. You can see you can lie to the Spirit of God. And when you do that, you're lying to God, because the Spirit is God, but you can lie to the Spirit. The Spirit can be grieved. We've read from Ephesians 4, verse 30, do not grieve the Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You can grieve the Spirit when you live recklessly in sin. The Spirit is grieved. He is deeply hurt. The Spirit is the one who speaks to us by means of his word. And there are many places in Scripture. I think Revelation 2, verse 7 would be one illustration of that, where we see that the Spirit speaks to the churches. We've been referenced to that in our prayer and seeking his blessing upon our understanding of the word. 2, verse 7, he was an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's the Spirit who speaks to us through the Bible. It's the Spirit who's given us the Bible. The Word was given by inspiration, 2 Peter 1 teaches us, as men were moved along by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit has given us the Bible by means of inspiration, and now he opens up the Bible by means of illumination. He opens our eyes to see what the man without the Spirit cannot see. He opens our ears to hear. Let him who hears hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And some people would say, you know, I wish God would speak to me. And we would say, well, read the Bible. Yeah, well, I wish God would speak to me out loud. Well, you should read the Bible out loud. Because the Spirit who has given us the Bible through Inspiration is the one who allows us to receive that word internally by his ministry of illumination. He gives us ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to embrace. We're talking about the personality of the Spirit, which is important to know who he is and what he's like. He's the one who prays for us. Again, as Romans 8 verse 26 says, in sighs and groans, too deep for words. A couple of words as well about his deity. Just filling out what the Catechism is saying. With the Father and the Son, he is eternal God. Always was, always will be. So we know we have texts like Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. Spirit was there from the beginning. He is God. We could just refer very briefly to the baptismal formula in Matthew 28 when Jesus says that we're to go, therefore, into all the nations. We're to baptize them in the name, singular, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So in the name of God, Father is God, Son is God, Spirit is God. I referred as well already to the way the Spirit can be lied to, as seen in Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. When you compare Acts 5:3 and Acts 5 verse 4, you see that in one breath it says you lied to God, and it says you've lied to the Spirit. And the implication is God and the Spirit are identical, because the Spirit is God, we say. Another brief thing we have seen perhaps in our reading of John chapter 6 is the way Jesus had promised throughout John chapter 16, in John 14 through 16, that he would send another comforter or another helper, our translation said in the portion we've read. The word there in the Greek is paraclete. And that can be translated comforter, can be translated counselor, can be translated advocate, can be translated helper, all of those things. But Jesus is saying, I'm sending another one. That's to say that Spirit is distinguished from Jesus, but he is another of the very same kind. He's a comforter, just like Jesus is a comforter. And whoever Jesus is as God, that's what the Spirit is as God as well. I want to say with regard to his being eternal God as well, I'll just refer to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, where we're told that the Spirit distributes the gifts variously or severally as he wills. It's his sovereign will because he's God. Now, why does all of this matter, to say that he's personal and to say that he's God? Well, it connects with where we're going and where this teaching is going, where we're encouraged to be able to say he's been given also to me. He's been given to me personally. He is the one who through faith makes me share in Christ. It has everything to do with who I am as a Christian. I would never be a Christian were it not for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I would never get beyond the folly of my rebellious attitude over against God, were it not for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to open my eyes to these things. And the thing is, we're not just given a thing, we're not just given a commodity when we're given the Spirit. God is giving us himself that we may know this God and love him and serve him and be in fellowship with him. In the language of John 14, verse 20, let me just highlight that very briefly. Jesus, after he had promised there as well that he would send another helper or another comforter or another counselor, John 14, verse 16, he says at verse 20, at that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. So there is a wonderful fellowship, a binding together that is going on here. And why is that? That's the work of the Spirit to bind us together in love. In that day, you're going to know. You're going to know me. You're going to know my Father. You're going to know the fellowship that I have with the Father and we have with you. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's we would say, beyond our comprehension, but it's glorious. And if the Spirit is not God, none of that happens. None of that takes place. Christianity is not something that we put together in our own minds and arrive at by our own strength. It's the ministry of God, the work of God and His grace, the ministry of His Spirit. We've got to move on to the second question. Is He the forgotten person of the Trinity? Why is it that we have just a little Lord's Day here summarizing the teaching of His work? As I said already in defense of this, it packs a punch. It's the powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit. Is it fair to say that perhaps as Reformed Christians or Protestant Christians, we focus far too little on the ministry of the Holy Spirit? We cherish Him and His ministry too lightly? I would say I don't think that's fair at all. Certainly not in terms of what we've been given. Now, we may need to be reminded and encouraged in terms of the blessing of this work. But is the Holy Spirit the forgotten person of the Trinity? We would answer with saying the Holy Spirit Himself would have it that way to a degree. He prefers anonymity. He is not looking for flashy. He's not looking for attention. He's not looking to be recognized in that sense. He's not looking out for Himself. He's not looking for fanfare. He's not saying all eyes on me. And that's a mistake that many people often make when they want to focus in that way on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has not come to call attention to Himself. He's come to call attention to Jesus. That's a key focus of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you're still in John, as I believe I am, John 16, verse 14. This is what Jesus says about the ministry of the Spirit. He will glorify me. The Spirit is going to point us to Jesus. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said He will take of mine and declare it to you. So that the Spirit in His work desires to point to Jesus, desires to exalt the ministry of Jesus. We come to the Father through Jesus by the Spirit. And maybe you noticed that as well as we were reading in Ephesians chapter 1. It isn't actually until we get to verses 13 and 14 where the ministry of the Spirit is spoken of. But in the first 12 verses, there is a glorious focus on the glory of God, to the praise of the glory of His grace. And we're saying at verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I was trying to highlight as well in my reading the way in which all of this is in Him, in Christ, in Him, all because of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has inspired Paul's writing of the book of Ephesians to exalt the Lord Jesus and draw our attention to Him. That's the key. That's the blessing that He would have us focus upon. And now again, with an emphasis on, if you want to hear God speaking to you, you go to the Bible, because it's the Spirit who's working with the Word. And that's exactly what we see happened in the life of the Ephesians, as Paul begins to explain that to them. And we could say, if we're Christian, this is exactly what's happened to us. Ephesians 1 verse 13, "In Him you also trusted." That is, in Jesus, to the glory and praise of God the Father. "In Him you also trusted." You trusted in Jesus after you heard the word of truth. You heard the gospel. The Bible was opened and you received it. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. "In whom?" In Jesus. "Also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So it's the Spirit who opens our ears to hear the Word, and as we receive the gospel, the Holy Spirit blesses us with all that is promised, and he seals us in that promise. The Holy Spirit is not the forgotten person of the Trinity. He is the one who delights in pointing us to Jesus. And by his ministry, we delight to point others to Jesus as well. He makes me share in Christ. He makes me share in Christ. So the third question, how does he make me share in Christ? I would say this is the focus of his ministry. Certainly that needs to have our attention and appreciation. He makes me share in Christ and all his benefits. Now, I wonder if that strikes anyone as something that you're not too pleased about. I'm just thinking about it this way. Have you ever had a situation, boys and girls, where mom and dad had to make you share in doing your chores? Make you share in doing the dishes? And how'd you like that? Typically, when we're proud and rebellious and selfish, we don't like that sort of thing at all. But by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when it comes to our salvation, there cannot be pride. And by his grace, he breaks through our rebellion. And therefore, he makes me share in Christ. That's delightful. I get to share in Christ and all his benefits. And I never would have. I would never have wanted to without the ministry of the blessed Spirit of God. He makes me to share in Christ. Picking up in Ephesians chapter 2, we would see that just like all the others, we were children of wrath, serving various lusts and pleasures. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But it's God who makes us alive together with Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 4, that's the work of the Spirit. He makes me share in Christ. He opens my eyes to see my need. He convicts my heart of a sense of guilt and a deep need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he holds the Lord Jesus Christ before me, and he opens my eyes to see his beauty and my deep need for him and the blessing that is found only in him. He will glorify me, Jesus says. He will take of what is mine, and he will declare it to you. Every blessing, all his benefits that come with Jesus are given to us by the ministry of the Spirit as we have them in Christ. When we see ourselves for who we are, it's the ministry of the Spirit to open our deaf ears, to open up our blind eyes, to soften our hardened hearts. And he does that, as again Ephesians 1 verse 13 says, when you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's the riches of his work. We would say as well with Romans 12, verse 3, no one can say Jesus is Lord apart from the Spirit. Now, people can string the words together and spit them out of their mouth. Jesus is Lord. But the Bible says that we are to believe Jesus is Lord from the heart and that God has raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. This is a confession that we make from the heart. Jesus is my Lord. He is the one I need. No one can say that apart from the ministry of the Spirit. He makes me share in Christ and all his benefits. I just want to say a word. Maybe some people have been thinking about that this week. I've seen certainly in social media that a lot of people have, in terms of fallen Christian leaders and the devastation that has brought into the hearts and lives of many people. Certainly if we put our trust in any leader, any human leader, even reputedly Christian leaders, we will find ourselves disappointed. I know that I will disappoint you. I trust that by God's grace, not by my falling away as I rest in what Jesus Christ has done. But don't put your trust in leaders. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. And some people will say, well, it was under the ministry of this particular person that I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. No, you need to understand it's the Holy Spirit who made you share in Christ. And take comfort in that. And as we'll go on and see, he comforts me and he remains with me forever. If we put our trust in people, we will certainly be disappointed. But he makes me share, the Spirit does, in Christ and in all his benefits. And all the benefits of Jesus. Let's just ring the changes for a moment. Let's just enumerate some as we can think of them. We are right with God. We have peace with God by grace through faith. Through faith, he makes me share in Christ. I share in Christ's standing. I share in Christ's righteousness. I share in Christ's future, therefore. The Father views me as he views his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have the blessing of a glorious inheritance. By the ministry of the Spirit, I am sealed. Both chapter 1 and chapter 4 of Ephesians emphasize the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's a seal of promise and certainty, with a guarantee of our inheritance. As we rest in what Jesus has done by the ministry of the Spirit, we may know that we will not be put to shame. We will know that nothing will separate us from his love. We may know that we have, by the Spirit's ministry, the strength to be the people God calls us to be, and a glorious, certain future of glorification. The Spirit makes me share in Christ in all his benefits, everything that goes with Jesus. Question 4. I've inserted one. What does his presence mean for me? What does his presence mean for me? And the Catechism just answers that with one phrase. He comforts me. I've already called attention to the word Jesus is using in John 14, 15, and 16. Paraclete. Comforter, counselor, helper. He comforts me. He makes me to know the comfort, the abiding comfort, that I belong to Jesus. He makes me to live in the confidence that nothing is going to separate me from that blessing. He comforts me when I don't know how to pray. He prays in sighs and groans too deep for words. He comforts me with hope in the midst of persecution and tribulation, as Romans chapter 5 would explain. He comforts in all of those ways. Now, recently, I heard someone suggest that when you get into difficulties in life and you're dealing as husband and wife, or any two Christians sort of dealing with each other, you might want to learn how to ask the question, what do you want in this situation? Comfort or solutions? I don't actually think that's a good question to ask. Because the comfort that the Bible speaks of, if it's a translation of paraclete, is not just a pat on the back. It's not just a warm, fuzzy pillow. Sometimes it's somebody who comes alongside of you and challenges you. The Spirit does that in our lives as well. And from the Latin, we can also get this aspect or this angle from it, comfort, cum for, or cum forte, with strength. It's by the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we are strengthened to endure hardship and trial, and we're strengthened to engage the difficulties. He comforts me. He is alongside of me. He'll not leave or forsake me. Last question, will he ever leave you? The reason I ask this question is because of what we've sung together from Psalm 51. And David's words in the Bible in Psalm 51, verses 10 and 11, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your spirit from me. Now, David was living in a context where he had seen in his life the fact that in terms of being equipped for office, his predecessor Saul was given the Spirit for his work as king, and the Spirit was taken away. And David says, that is the last thing I would ever want. And he is struggling with that reality in the face of his own sin and unworthiness. Now, we should not take from that, in terms of what happened to Saul, that the taking away of the Spirit is something that can actually happen to a true believer, the one whom is made to trust in Jesus by the Spirit's work. But at the same time, there should be in our lives an ongoing sense of urgency with David in Psalm 51, verse 10 and 11. Lord, I would be devastated were it not for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And let me live in sweet communion with you and your Spirit. Let me be filled with your Spirit as you continue to help me to live in the blessing that I'm sealed with the Spirit, Ephesians 1 and chapter 4. Let me be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5, verse 18. And let me not grieve your Spirit. What happens when we grieve the Spirit? Ephesians 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's building on what we've already seen in 1 verse 14, the promise, the guarantee, the promise of our inheritance until the day of redemption. That is to say, he's not going to let you go. You have been sealed for the day of redemption. But don't grieve him. This warning in Ephesians 4, verse 30 is only spoken to Christians. This is not what is called in other places in the Bible the sin against the Holy Spirit or blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. We would say, ultimately, in terms of biblical principle, that is not something that a believer will do, is blaspheme the Holy Spirit, the unpardonable sin. That's what happens in the lives of those who know better, or perhaps have lived a good lie, put on a good show, and so in so doing have hardened their hearts to God. And sometimes it happens that in the lives of some, people's hearts are hardened irreparably. But that's not what we're talking about when we talk about the warning of grieving the Spirit of God. This teaching here speaks to us again of the love of the Spirit. His personal character. He loves us. And I think you know something of the reality. Anytime you find yourself going your own way, doing your own thing, walking in sin, when you do that, you grieve the Spirit. You sadden him. It gives him grief. It hurts. And what we experience by the loving ministry of the Holy Spirit is that it's hurtful, it's grievous, it's miserable in our own lives as well. Again, John 16, verse 8, he has come to convict the world of sin. He won't let you stay there. He doesn't want you to be comfortable in sin. And that's why he may make you edgy. He may make you grieve. You may experience depression. I'm not saying this is the answer with regard to every bout of depression. Don't, not at all. Not saying that at all. But thanks be to God for the love of the Spirit, who doesn't want us to stay in our sin. You've been sealed for the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit will remain with you forever to make sure you arrive safely home. And that's why the ministry of the Holy Spirit is so very, very fundamental and necessary. And that's why we give God the glory as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father who has created us for His glory, the Son who has redeemed us, and the Spirit who works in us to make us to know this God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, our faithful Savior. Thank you, blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory you are receiving in all that you are doing. And we thank you that you are accomplishing your good purposes for the praise of the glory of your grace. And thank you that it is by the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we begin to see how much we need the Lord Jesus. It's by the ministry of your Holy Spirit that we are finally brought to give up our trust in ourselves and to put our trust in Him. We pray, blessed Spirit, you would continue your work in our midst. Your work with the Word. Your work with the gospel of our salvation. We pray that you will continue to teach us and to guide us and to point us to Jesus and equip us for lives of great joy, knowing you are there to comfort us, to strengthen us, to challenge us, to convict us, but definitely also to keep us. You remain with us forever, we praise you. May all of us live in that joy as we trust in Jesus and say, I didn't give this to myself. No man, no teacher gave this to me. It's the blessed work of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.